Off the ball. Rugby.
Sevens was it for your early 20s.
We ever tempted?
Couldn't have thought of anything worse. First of all, my engine was not my strong point. It would have had to be in those very early years.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball. Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
What is it that makes us come out in that second half and have the energy that we do? Because for most teams, it's you start off with the energy and it drops off, whereas we seem to have the opposite problem.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's even as a problem or how you frame it. It's more as like how are we going to control the first part of the game so that we're in a position to come out and have a go in a later part of the game. That if we, you know, do we start like that and then you can't sustain it and you're opened up in the second half or your legs are gone and then... You know, that's where you'll see, like, Leanne comes off the bench and she gives us a good run option and then you try to affect the changes like that. But, yeah, the girls were, really energetic, really aggressive. You see, Caitlin came much more into it and she's, you know, we're saying to her, you're much more when you're really on it instead of being passive in that defensive phase and go on, be brave and push Aoife up and you engage a bit higher. So I think that's what we did in the second half and yeah, we had a few chances there that you think, oh, quite going, it's going to, but it doesn't happen. But yeah, we're learning all the time and we're learning against the best in the world.
Yeah, it's Eileen Gleeson in a fairly pragmatic mood in the aftermath of the 2-0 defeat last night. Maeve de Brecker, good morning to you. How are you?
Good, yeah, all good now.
Do you, what's your sense today with the two games now back to back? That are you positive about what the experience has been like, or are we realistic? Are we being a bit too soft on them if we don't actually hold them to account? What's your...
I think relatively positive, yeah, from based off particularly last night's performance was a bit more improved than it had been against the French. The French game, I don't think we saw much of the ball at all in the other half of the field, but they kind of, at times they went toe-to-toe, you could say, a little bit with England, but, you know, particularly in the last 15 minutes, I think they were a little bit at sixes and sevens at the back, but ultimately, I mean, we didn't get a goal even over the two games, but then again, we were playing against second and third in the world, so you can't get much higher.
Yeah, so these are two very good teams. There's definitely a glass half full and there's definitely a glass half empty. England missed a penalty. They had a couple of great chances that, if one doesn't go straight at Courtney Brosnan, it could have been 4 or 5, but equally, it could have been 4 or 5 and it wasn't, and we dug in and created some chances towards the end of the game. What's the difference between this current setup and what we would have been seeing under Vera Powell?
Structure-wise, I don't think there's actually a whole lot of difference. I think maybe just that we've built off the experiences in the World Cup and, you know, we're a little bit braver now when we have the ball, or just maybe even just have that bit more quality. It's very much 5-4-1 still, and it was last night. The wing backs weren't really wing, they were more back, so it was like quite similar with regard to the structure, but at the same time it just feels like we've progressed. Hard to put a finger on it exactly how, but I think that even just in terms of decision making on the ball and just progression up the pitch, I think is definitely, well, from Friday to last night had improved anyway, and I think from overall from Vera's time till now has definitely been an improvement.
I think Maeve's right in a lot of that. The only thing I would say is maybe a slight difference from the Vera tenure is I think Eileen Gleeson pulls the trigger on substitutions and changes up the game and the formation a lot quicker than Vera did, particularly in the World Cup. It was a massive source of frustration that sometimes the substitutions were coming maybe the last 10-15 minutes, which isn't when we need them. Whereas Eileen, as we've seen in the last two games, she hauled two players off at halftime because she wanted to change things. The rest of the substitutions came around the 60th minute. She's not afraid to change things up a little bit quicker. And I think those were the difference last night, those players coming on. Now, maybe we should have started with some of those players on the pitch and that's something we need to look at. But I do think that in-game management from her and her team is slightly better.
Should we have started with Megan Connolly?
I think there was rumours that maybe she had a niggle and that. So I'm not sure if that was an option or not. But and I think Rucha came off due to her Achilles injury as well. So I thought Megan did well in the second half. Definitely that she kind of brought a bit of composure into the midfield.
Is it, to Kathleen's point, is it a sign that Gleeson believes in her players a bit more than Vera Powell? She's willing to make those changes when she needs to, and trust them on the ball a bit more maybe than Vera.
Yeah, and I think, well, as well, maybe, you know, it's not always the same. Like, it was very much a set 11, and we knew nearly the subs that were going to come on. There was really only about 13 players who featured a lot in those times. But I think now, based off the opposition that we're playing, or, you know, the kind of tactics or the way we want to approach a game, then I think Eileen, like Kathleen said, isn't afraid to mix it up. And, you know, she has tried four at the back, which previously didn't work maybe that well. You know, we did a little bit of times against Italy when we played them in the friendly, and then obviously Wales, she wasn't afraid to change it up as well. So I think there's a lot, you can see kind of the team is developing as well as the management all the time.
When it comes to those two changes then that were made from the France game to last night, it wasn't just Megan Connolly, it was obviously Emily Murphy. So Rucha and Lucy Quinn come in for the two of them. Why did she make those changes first off?
I think, well, maybe it could have been enforced. I'm not sure, just due to maybe Megan been carrying something. But yeah. I thought that maybe the reasoning behind Lucy Quinn starting might have been to try make our transition from attack to defence a bit more seamless. But we didn't seem to utilise her in that way. I thought we just didn't find her maybe with the passes. One time in particular, I think Katie was breaking free and Lucy had made a great run, but we just couldn't connect the passes. And I think... It didn't work out in terms of the effectiveness, I think, of it. But you know, Rucha has been playing well as well. So I think she was probably deserving of her starting chance. I don't think maybe she had the best half she's played, and she was unfortunate, you know, with the penalty as well to concede that. But overall, I think she's like I said, Eileen is just trying different things at different times.
I was really surprised when Emily Murphy started against France. I think she's just come into the Irish setup. She's still playing at a collegiate level, which Heather Payne was too until this season. But I think when we were starting Heather Payne, we had a lot less experienced options. And I do understand putting players like Emily Murphy in so she gets that experience at a high level. But I just thought she looked really at sea in the France game, and that was proven by the fact that she was pulled at halftime. And I think we do have the more experienced midfielders there that earned maybe more of a start against England, and I think that's why I was actually even surprised that Emily Murphy did come on towards the end, because again, I thought she looked a little bit lost at the quality of opposition that we were playing, and maybe needs a little bit more time and experience to bed into the squad. Even the level that she's playing at in collegiate level, I think is slightly different to the one slightly lower to what Heather Payne was playing at. So I assume Eileen Gleeson is seeing something in training sessions, and that's why she's willing to put her in there and has a lot of faith. And from what I've heard from players who watched her in Chelsea's academy, there is a talent there. I just don't know if she's at the level that we should be starting her in these big games at the moment.
If everybody is fully fit, Kathy was making the point earlier on that maybe Megan Campbell isn't 100% at the moment. So if everybody's fit, everybody's available for the Sweden games, you starting Campbell?
I would personally, yeah. I mean, I think, I know we go on about the long throw, and it was last night our most effective attacking weapon, I thought. But at the same time, she brings a lot more to the game as well than that. She has a lot of aggression, and I think she's really good on the ball as well, and just provides that kind of balance with the left foot, obviously, on that side. And yeah, it does release Katie, like we were all calling out for to be playing in a higher position too. So yeah, personally, I think if Megan, I think now that she's changed clubs to London City Lionesses, I think she'll be able to get a lot more game time there, and then hopefully then that'll mean that come when the games come around, the Sweden games, that she'll be in a position to start.
Because it did seem that maybe last week that the long throw-in was an amazing tactical weapon, that it didn't make a whole pile of sense introducing her halfway through the game, essentially. But at the same time, that's kind of using the long throw-in as a stick to beat Eileen Gleeson with. It's something that she just happens to have, and I guess you got to analyse it in every other way. Does it increase her chances though, starting? Does it, like, is it something that you can actually build somebody or tactical approach around?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's very hard to defend against, just because teams aren't used to defending it. You can't practice it in training because other people can't throw it in, and just the trajectory it comes in at, it's angled towards the goal. Like a lot, like some of, you know, her, a lot of the throw-ins will end up in the goal if they're not touched, but which can't be said about corners usually, unless you're Katie taking one in the World Cup. But you know, it is, it's a very unique weapon to have, and I think, yeah, it definitely increases her chances of being in the starting team. But yeah, like I said, she does bring a lot of other qualities too.
I think for the Sweden games, it's going to be really important as well that we can find a way to get Denise involved in more of the game. She was really frustrated when I spoke to her post-game last night at how little of the ball she had seen, and talked about how much it psychologically had affected her as well, the short turnaround between the Friday to the Tuesday, in terms of it just being two really intense games, not having a lot of the ball. Even though you would say Ireland probably did have more of the ball last night, she was totally marked out of the game, which is something we saw happen to her in the World Cup too. So for you, Maeve, how do we make sure that we're utilising her?
Yeah, it was difficult to kind of nearly to watch, because she didn't have the impact on the game, I think, that she would have liked. But I think that comes down to probably, you know, England's tactics too, and their midfield is stacked. And I think when we're playing that flat four, we only have two centre midfielders, and it's difficult because we're outnumbered for the whole game against England's three centre mids. So, you know, we're trying to provide the extra cover at the back with a third centre back, but then we don't have that in midfield, so we're just chasing the game and we're never going to be able to dominate. I thought Ciara Walsh, I thought, was the best player on the pitch. She just, like, dictated play there from the whole mid spot.
Do you think, I've had this argument with so many people since last night. So in the Sweden game, Ciara Walsh was totally marked out of the game, and Serena Wiegman mentioned it afterwards, that it's something that England haven't been able to deal with. I said it last night on the evening show, but I don't think, yes, that's a very obvious tactic for us to pursue, but I don't think we have the players at the moment to pursue putting, say, two on Ciara Walsh, or making sure, like, do you totally commit someone like Denise, or I know Katie was pretty tied up between Jess Park, Lucy Bronze and Lauren James at different points, but do you think we have the quality that we could have committed someone to Ciara Walsh, taken her out of the game, or would we have just been unravelled somewhere else?
Yeah, exactly. I think exactly what you said. I think, you know, if we focus on one of their players, then like Walsh in this case, then we're just going to leave ourselves open elsewhere, because they just sort of stacked the quality all over the pitch. But yeah, it's hard to know. But I think, you know, when we have the five at the back, it is quite conservative, extra numbers at the back. But like I said, then it's hard then to impact the game further up the pitch when we are particularly in that centre mid spot, which really is kind of the engine room, obviously, of the game, and that's where a lot of the battles are won and lost, and particularly possession wise, it's very hard to establish any kind of possession when you're outnumbered in that area.
So what's the solution to that?
That's the thing, who knows? It's like, do we change it, and do we just, you know, try to, I think, play more narrow, I think, even like a diamond formation maybe in midfield, and let our fullbacks, you know, our wingbacks try to, you know, at least obviously they will take the winger, but then if we can come across, like, just make the pitch narrow, and then if we are playing in a diamond formation or a box formation in midfield, then just come across to the side that the ball is on, and then leave the far fullback out of the equation.
Or ask your centre-backs to step into midfield a bit more and be more comfortable on the ball?
Yeah, exactly, and to kind of take responsibility, and maybe just have the midfielders as screening players rather than, you know, picking up the forwards, or the number 10 in particular when she drops in. That should be allowed, kind of stepping in.
That is something they did a little bit in terms of asking the centre backs to take a bit more responsibility last night, and it was noticeable the difference that it gave us in terms of the freedom. Eileen Gleeson mentioned it post match, and so did Caitlin Hayes, that at half time she went to the centre backs and said to them, can you pull yourselves up a little bit more, because we need that support in midfield. And it's something that we didn't do against France, really, and you did notice the difference last night when we did it against England.
Yeah, I think so. And then, you know, by pushing up, it means just the gaps between the lines are smaller then as well, which does make it easier to kind of cover that ground. But also, I just, the size of the pitch last night in the Aviva, I was looking at it, I don't know if it's an option, you know, whether we can try look at pulling in those pitches, because it's definitely something we did in the past. Depending on our opposition, we'd narrow the pitch, which obviously makes it a lot easier if you've left ground to cover, you know, when you're chasing the game. But that's probably a debate for another day.
Keith Tracy's saying, let the grass grow.
yeah exactly, yeah, that's, it's definitely worth investigating. It's obviously smaller distance from sideline for your throw into the goal as well, you know, so that would just add rocket fuel to that. But the Denise O'Sullivan thing is going to be very interesting because, like, we were kind of talking about it on yesterday morning's show, just that type of player, when you go from League B to League A, was probably going to be the one that struggles. Fewer, way, way less possession and obviously way less control of the game. Like, is there a different role or is there a sort of some sort of hybrid that would allow Denise O'Sullivan to get into the game? Because obviously the playmaker that she is, it's just going to be very, very hard to see that manifesting itself in Carrow Road, that's for sure, and probably in the home fixture against France. Maybe at home to Sweden she gets a bit more ball, but it's not looking great for a creative midfield type in this Ireland team in League A at the moment.
No, exactly. It's it's difficult to... We do have to. I think it kind of is vital. Like, she's such a vital cog in our transition to attack, and that, you know, that we do need to find a way of getting her the ball. I suppose she plays as a six now, like in that holding mid spot with North Carolina too. But they have, I think they probably maybe have a bit more attack in our creative players than we probably do with the Irish team. So, it's just a matter of trying to find ways. But I think that comes down to the opposition's tactics too as well. You know, with so many games now been analysed in such detail, like they'll clearly see that herself and Katie are the main threats, and they'll nullify them as much as possible. And it's part of that is just our own side and analysing that and how we can kind of find ways to create space for her.
We can actually hear from Denise O'Sullivan now, that conversation with Kathleen post-match.
Denise, how are you feeling after that?
Exhausted.
Caitlin said the same thing.
Yeah, it was an absolute shift and, yeah, obviously disappointed not to come away with any points from two of the games, but... this is the level that we're at now, and we have to stay positive. We had a go at them, but I think having without the ball for 90 minutes is a mentally tiring, but we'll keep pushing on, and we have a camp and a quick turnaround in a few weeks.
Talk us through your feelings on the pitch, because as we were just discussing with Caitlin, you know, that first half it did feel like they were giving us the runaround, but in the second half it was a totally different story. What was it like for you?
Yeah, in the first half, you're right. I think we were too deep and went in a half time, and Eileen, the staff, told us to push on, and I think we tend to do that in second halves where we have a right go at them, and we created a few chances, but I didn't see much of the ball in the second half either, to be quite honest. Frustrating game for me, but just gotta keep going and gotta get back to my club and play another game on Saturday. So it's just non-stop go, but we'll come back in and we'll look forward to the Sweden games.
It is really non-stop. Like, it was an intense game against France on Monday, and even more intense, I would probably say, out there today. And you said it was mentally quite difficult. As a squad, how do you adjust to that? Because three goals conceded isn't the worst, considering some of the opposition that we're up against, even though I know we don't like thinking of it that way.
Yeah, 100%. Look, there's other teams where they scored five or six against, so credit to our defenders. They're excellent, and they've always been brilliant for us. But yeah, we just have to get together again as a squad in a few weeks and just take the positives into the next games. That's all we can do, and try and stay positive ourselves, and hopefully try get points on the board in the next few games.
Is it a good thing that the camp isn't that far away the next one, because it means that there's not that much time to dwell on what happened, and a chance and an opportunity for the team to get together again and kind of rebuild again?
I think so, yeah. We absolutely love being together, this team, and look, we're all excited to come back in the next camp as well, and I'm glad it's only a few weeks away, because as you said, we can't dwell in it, but we'd have to come back in and get straight to work again, and just keep this campaign going.
Yeah, so that's it. It's like obviously very disappointed, but at the same time, you know, you are realistic. You're up against one of the best teams in the world, one of the most well-resourced teams. The challenge now is to make sure that they clearly learn from this, and it doesn't take the halftime adjustments for them to push up the next time.
That's it, exactly. I think it's, if we can learn something from each of these six games, then hopefully by the time the playoffs come around, you know, we'll be in a really good position to just dominate those and get to the Euros. And then, in obviously looking a bit ahead, but then these games are the kind of opposition we'll be facing if we do get to the Euros, would be in the group stages even. So it is vital. I think we keep learning, and I think just the conceding early as well is probably something that they look to eradicate too.
It's kind of mad, isn't it? The sort of bizarre nature of how much they'll need to change from game to game, or from set of games to set of games. So the playoff opponent's obviously going to be of a much lower standard. It'll be much like League B again, when a different style of play was required and rewarded, whereas they're kind of struggling naturally with the transition to being without the ball a lot more and being the sort of classic Irish in your face sort of thing, as opposed to being just, I guess, a nice team to watch on the eye, traditionally speaking. I do wonder, like, will they have an opportunity to set up a couple of friendlies before that playoff? Like,
yeah,
just to get back into the rhythm of playing teams of that standard, because it just feels like worlds apart, the styles of play that Ireland need to use in the sorts of fixtures that they have.
Completely, yeah. Like, polar opposite, really. And even in terms of the personnel you'd be looking to use, like, you'd want your attacking players more so, you know, girls who are good in the ball and good in possession rather than defenders when you are playing against those teams. And even, I think, the playoff, the first round would be against, I think, a League C team. So, yeah, you know, again, it's just a lower standard again, which just requires completely different game plan, different, like said, tactics and all that. So as good as these games are in terms of, I suppose, progressing us, like you said, it is completely different than game that you're going to be playing. So, yeah, I mean, I'd expect they'd have friendlies. Like, it doesn't seem like they're leaving any stone turned these days, but it's just whether, you know, the time frame allows it, if there's the gap in the window to arrange those friendlies, which I'd hope there will be.
I think there should be. But as well, I think we have actually learned quite a lot from even the last two games. I think that the way the team attacked last night was very different to how much on the back foot we were in France. And I don't think it's a bad thing even if we do go straight off Ligue 1 into the qualifying rounds, because if we go out on the pitch and all of a sudden we're able to blitz teams and score 5-6 goals against someone in our playoff qualification process, that's going to be pretty good for the team going down the line.
The one thing you'd want is that the psychological impact of chasing shadows isn't too much, and they still were very, very depressed there. It felt a little.
I actually felt
aftermath, but
talking to her last night felt very similar to talking to her after we knew we weren't going to progress in the World Cup. It was almost that levels of devastation, maybe not quite that, but it was close to it. Talking to her last night, and I was quite surprised because, by all accounts, I thought it was a pretty good result for the two games, you know, only conceding 3 goals, which will be important in the playoff process because goal difference and all that sort of stuff can come into it.
Yeah.
So keeping scores down is really important.
Oh,
for
no,
us.
Totally. And also for their own psychological, the no punishment beatings.
Yeah. And also she didn't have those two warm-up games, and that was the first camp that she's ever missed against Italy and Wales. So she's coming into this fresh off the back of being like, really eager to get back into camp. Classic Denise O'Sullivan, does not like missing out on anything, is an uber, uber competitive person. And I'd say there was probably part of her disappointment there was in her own performance and not being able to get into the game and not being able to influence the game as much as it actually is the result.
If you remember back to the World Cup, we kind of made an excuse that she was carrying an injury and had just made it, and that was the reason for her performances. Now there's two back-to-back performances where she's like, actually, I need to step up a level myself as well. So, fingers crossed, she goes away. And every time she's been faced with one of those challenges before in her career, she's come back with it and has answered it.
If anyone was to do it, I think you would bank your house on Denise O'Sullivan being able to pull the performance up. And also, as Owen was asking, I think we also need to try and develop a system and a style of play that does include her a little bit more. She does get really lost in that midfield for the type of player that she is, and we don't have the support players. And I do think she has that, not a hidden role, but maybe a role you don't notice as much in the support to Katie, where when she wasn't there for the Italy and Wales game, you noticed the amount of work Katie was doing on the ball was a lot more than usual. And Denise has that effect of being able to pull players out of consideration. So while she might not be on the ball necessarily and you're not watching her do tricks and turns, she is fulfilling quite an important role in that team that is missed when it's not there. So it's a juggling role. It's a bit like Megan Campbell. Like, when she wasn't there, we were like, oh, we're getting on fine. And then she comes back and she brings her free throws and she lets Katie play up higher. And we're like, oh, better at the World Cup.
Everything is everything, it turns out.
Can I just ask one last question? So obviously Sweden doubleheader next up. Like, I think there's been a real tone of forgiveness naturally for the last two results. I mean, like, last night is, like, in men's football, that's, who's the number two team in the world? I can't even know, but I know Austria 25th in men's football. If they were beaten by France, who I think are number two, 2-0, you'd be like, okay, fair enough. So I think it's been kind of par for the course. Does the way we qualify for the last World Cup change the context around Sweden? Going to Gothenburg, getting the draw, I know they lost 1-0 in Tala against Sweden in the qualification campaign, but it didn't feel that Ireland were that far behind Sweden at that point. Is that going to colour how things are going to be spoken about and how this team is going to be judged on the back of the Sweden games? Because there might be an expectation to actually get something now from one of these games.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's kind of credit to the girls that they've put themselves in that position that now we are almost expecting a result or two against Sweden, even though they're, I think, fifth in the world. You know,
and they've been incredibly sticky in the last two games.
Yeah, like, you know, realistically, again, it's you wouldn't, on paper, I suppose, we're not expected to get the points. But because of, like you said, the kind of history between the teams and the fact that we have played the World Cup and now they are the third in the group, third seed in the group, it's kind of, I think people are, we sense that maybe this is the one, this is where we can kind of hopefully push on and get a point. And I think it would be great just to kind of round off, you know, the six games just by getting at least something. You know, obviously the performances are good, but the moral victories, you know, they do get draining after a while. So, yeah, hopefully we can put it all together and get something out of the Sweden games.
All right, Maeve, good stuff. Thanks for joining us this morning. 27 minutes past eight. Reminder, Braeburn Coffee is the official coffee partner of Off the Ball. Beat the commute with Braeburn, offering you dairy and oat options alongside a team of tasty treats. It's the perfect pit stop on your journey. To find your nearest Braeburn coffee, visit applegreenstores.com/Braeburn. Up next, talking football with Jonathan Wilson. First, the final post-match reaction from last night with Cathy and in conversation with Kira Caruso.
Yeah, I mean, there is a confidence, obviously, a presence that's right off the bat. I mean, I remember playing against Leah in Champions League, and she's, you know, still the same player, very calm, cool on the ball, lovely long switch of a ball as well. But yeah, that being said, though, like, again, these, like, a player is not going out to have a perfect game as well, and there are moments and there are pieces of each of the backline's game that we were like, hey, like, let's put them in these situations, let's put them under pressure in these ways. But again, you have to respect it too. Like, they're playing, they're a class team. They're, you know, our European champions. So
Off the Ball Breakfast,
Ireland's sports breakfast show.